In Florida this week, Governor Ron DeSantis would not commit to a statewide review of older condo buildings, such as the Champlain Towers South, which collapsed 2 weeks ago. Champlain Towers South has sadly become a symbol of the worst in condominiums, which are often owned and managed by tenants with little oversight. And what happened in Surfside has made a lot of condo owners and prospective buyers nervous. Let's talk Condo 101 with Evan McKenzie. He's a professor of condominium and homeowner association law at the University of Illinois at Chicago Law School. Evan, welcome to Here and Now.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
We're glad to have you, and I'm wondering if you were surprised to learn that owners at the Champlain Towers South building were being asked to pay special assessments of hundreds of thousands of dollars to address an estimated $15 million worth of needed repairs. And that despite that, the governor did not want to commit to reviewing other older condo buildings.
Yeah, I have to say that neither of those things really surprises me, because special assessments, and often, you know, five-figure and even six-figure special assessments in older condo buildings, are becoming increasingly common. It's terrible, but it's happening a lot in this country. And the other thing that unfortunately does not surprise me is that we have state government officials who don't want to accept any responsibility for making the situation better. That has happened in a number of states, unfortunately.
Well, let's drill down on that, because you're calling, as I understand it, for more oversight of condo boards, which would require presumably more government involvement. So first of all, maybe you can explain how little oversight there actually is, and then what are the measures that you are advocating?
Yes. Well, you know, about 20 to 25% of the nation's population is living in either condominiums or homeowners associations, private communities, in other words. Nonetheless, almost all the states have virtually no oversight in place of the association's finances. They are all run by untrained, unsupported, often unqualified volunteer directors who are just simply elected. The only qualification is that you're an owner. And they have enormous responsibilities, but they don't really have any oversight in place. Most of the states don't even know how many condominium developments they have in the state. They don't know how many people are in them, and they know virtually nothing about the finances of those associations or the condition of the buildings. I think that's really a shocking lapse in public oversight, and it could be easily fixed.
I suppose the thinking, though, is that condo owners who are managing these associations would be heavily invested in what's best for their buildings. This is their investment, maybe their home after all, but there may also be sort of absentee landlords. Maybe they own a unit in the condo building, but they don't actually live there. Is there a difference in management between those things when you have owner-occupied condo owners who are managing the buildings versus people who are actually not there?
Yes, that's a good point. There certainly is a difference. For some people, it's just an investment property, and they may not really want to put money into it. And other people living there may, you know, want to maintain the building to a higher standard. Now, that's certainly one difference. But another difference is simply that there's what the economists call a collective action problem, in the sense that each individual owner has an incentive to keep their own payments as low as possible and to contribute as little as possible to the building. But collectively, that hurts all of them when there's a big repair that needs to be done and they haven't set aside the money in advance.
We asked you here for your professional and legal expertise, Evan, but I have to ask a personal question, which is, would you yourself ever buy a condominium?
I would, only under certain conditions, very limited. I would have to know that they had done what we call a reserve study. A reserve study is where that you have a building professional go out and evaluate the entire building, top to bottom, and tell you what you need, when you're going to need it, how many years down the road, and how much you should be setting aside for those repairs, so that the assessment levels are set in a realistic way, so you won't be surprised by the costs when they arise. So I'd want to know that there was a current reserve study done at least within the last 3 years, and that those recommendations were followed, because the boards and the association control their own assessment levels. And they often just keep them too low for their own reasons. But if I were going to move into one, I'd want to insist on knowing all the details about the financials before I would ever buy.
But you know what to look for. You're an expert. This is one of your specialties in the law. For the layman who may be thinking about buying a condo, what would be the first thing you would advise?
I would say, you know, if you have an attorney involved in this, then even before you get involved in a contract, you know, normally you're entitled to disclosure of financials from the association after you're under contract. But if I were shopping, I would say to the potential seller, I would say, I need to see the financials before I put an offer down. I need to see your latest reserve study. I need this information up front before I put down an offer. That is what I would do. And often, if you really insist on it, you can make that happen. I would do that.
And harder now, though, Evan? I wonder, because the real estate market is so hard. We're seeing some folks waiving things that would typically be part of basic due diligence, the inspections, because they're in a bidding war for a unit.
Yes, that is an excellent point. And nonetheless, the way I look at it, the risks of buying into a private community, and especially a condo, and especially an older condo building, are so great that I would simply forego the opportunity if I couldn't find out where things stood financially with the association. I simply would not do it, because a special assessment can hit you down the road a few years that would wipe out any equity gain you might have had from buying, you know, in a hot market.
You know, it's worth pointing out, too, that there's a huge difference in scale here, a huge range. The tower that collapsed in Florida was, just as the name suggests, a large tower, many units. There are also condo associations that are quite small, 2, 3, 4 units. We've heard real estate people say it's sort of like going into business with people you don't know. What do you think about that?
Yes. And it is a thing that many people don't think about when they're shopping for a condo, because they think of it as if it were a single family home, when it's actually shared ownership arrangement.
So you're advising that folks really do their diligence when it comes to the building itself, the association's finances. Is it also worth knowing what the state or even county level rules for condo building inspections are? Because in Florida, for example, only Miami-Dade and Broward counties require that these older high rises go through a re-inspection. There's actually no statewide requirement to inspect beneath any surface.
Right. Not only that, in the whole state of Florida, which is more condos than almost any other state, they don't even have a requirement that the associations do periodic reserve studies. So in other words, these boards aren't even required to fully inform themselves through a professional as to what their needs are. So how can they intelligently establish reserve funds and know what's coming down the road, know what to prepare for and what to maintain, if they aren't even required to bring in a professional? So, yeah, I think you should know what your state or city mandates. And I think people will be very surprised when they find out how little oversight there is in almost every single state in the country.
Let me ask you one other sort of really specific question, but it may come up a lot if people are taking just sort of like a visual glance at their unit and they see an apparent crack that's at least an eighth of an inch wide. That's not all that big, but some engineers say that's actually the size when cracks are a concern. So what do you do if you see one of those? And especially, what do you do if the condo association is dragging its feet about getting it repaired? What options do you have?
Yeah, well, that is a very difficult situation. In some situations, people have been known in condo buildings, if they see cracks in structural members, you know, the beams of the parking garage and the pillars that hold the building up and this sort of thing, they have been known, and water leaking and that sort of thing, serious problems. They've been known, you know, first you have to contact your board. If they don't act, then you can contact building officials yourself. You can try to bring in the building officials. Municipalities tend to defer to the condo board because they view it as a responsibility that has now been assumed by the volunteer condo board. And it's not really a public responsibility. It is a public responsibility, but too often they abdicate. But you do have to go to public authorities at times. It has to be done. It can be difficult. But if you can't get any recourse from the board, you may have to do something like that.
Not to scare people entirely away from condos, as you said yourself, you would consider buying one under the right circumstances, but a good reminder to make sure you do your diligence before you make an investment like this. Evan McKenzie is a professor of condominium and homeowner association law at the University of Illinois at Chicago Law School. Evan, thank you.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure.